Good afternoon and welcome to Coffee Break, a podcast of Riverside County Child Support Services. My name is Nathan Hartel, Deputy Director, and with me today is...
Bruce Wagner. I'm the Chief Attorney here at the Department of Child Support Services, and good afternoon, Nathan.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's good to hear your voice. This is where we take usually our morning coffee break. It happens to be the afternoon. I do, of course, still have a cup of coffee with me. And this is where we take our break, a few moments out of our day to spend some time with our listening public to talk about all things child support, to talk about process, talk about customer service, any topic we think may be relevant to our customers, and what's more relevant in today's world than things that touch on the topic of COVID. So we have a pretty exciting topic today that we're going to talk about, and that's modifications of child support orders and why that may be one of the most important things happening to our customers in this day and age. But before we get started, we do have another guest, and we want to introduce that person. So we have a special guest with us today. This is a child support specialist, an employee of Riverside County Child Support Services with many years of experience in the program. Her name is Lisa Hall, and she's going to join us for our podcast today. So I want to welcome her and thank her for being here with us.
Thank you, Nathan. Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be joining you today.
Thank you very much.
Lisa. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you. Just so our listeners know, how long have you worked in the child support program?
I've happily worked in the child support program for 20 years now.
Wow. So you are somebody who has probably had a lot of different encounters with our customers. You've talked with them on the phone, in person. You've handled their cases, had many, many opportunities to respond to their day-to-day needs with their child support cases, my guess.
Yes, that's true. I do. I so enjoy working with the customers to try to help them. You know, being involved with child support is not an easy thing. And so I just try to make it a little bit more pleasant to deal with our office and just help them through the processes that they have to go through.
That's great. And I know that about you personally. You know, I know from working with you and seeing you interact with customers and how you handle your cases that what you just described is exactly who you are as a person of a very high character and great values, and your commitment to the public that we serve is outstanding. So I thank you for that. And I wanted our public to hear that, your resume, if you will, your credentials, because they can really, I think, gain a lot from hearing from you today about your experience in working with child support customers. So as we get into this topic, you know, in the past, Bruce, we've had podcast episodes where we have addressed in general topics like modifying court orders. So we know that we start from a place in the world of child support where we cannot collect anything as an agency, as a department, that has not been ordered by the court. And we know that sometimes things happen in the lives of our customers that warrant a change to the amount of child support that is ordered. And Bruce, I don't know about you, but if there's anything that I am learning since the middle of March to now with everything that's going on with COVID, it's that there's a whole lot of change and there's not much that I can count on to be consistent. So it makes me wonder if that really is probably trickling over and touching our customers in the world of their child support orders, and they're finding some things that are happening in their lives that are probably going to make it really, really important for them to know how to take care of modifying that order.
I would absolutely agree with that, Nathan. I think you can't count on anything anymore. Things change so quickly. And when you suggested the topic of a modification, I thought, you know, this is really, really timely, really great, because we're going through a lot of changes right at this very moment. One with the start of school and people, parents trying to wrestle with the idea of how they're going to take care of their kids and get them ready for school, whether it's online or actually physically in school. Many of our parents that we enforce child support for have been on unemployment, receiving unemployment benefits. The federal benefit expires, and that would be a significant decrease in income for a lot of our customers. So this is a very timely topic, And I hope we have some really good news or some really good information to pass on to our customers that they can use and maybe make these times a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think that we do. And before we get into kind of a little bit of the specifics of, you know, what do you do as a customer? How do you request a modification? You mentioned some good news, and here's what I would throw out there for our listeners. And I do think this is a good piece of news, and I hope it reassures them that they do still have help. Even during uncertain times, they have help, and that help comes from the Department of Child Support Services and from our staff, and I would say even from the Riverside County Court. So a bit of that good news is that, you know, from day one of this pandemic, the Department of Child Support Services, yes, has had some impacts in our ability to communicate with our customers in the way we normally would. The biggest one is that our office, with a short exception of maybe a week or two in June, we've been closed to the public other than them being able to come in and make a payment. However, what has not changed is that our staff have never stopped working their cases ever. So we have not had a break in providing services to the public for one day since this has happened. So I hope that they find that reassuring, that as things change and as things are uncertain, one thing that is certain is that if they need a question answered, if they need help knowing how to modify a court order, we're here to do that. And I think, Bruce, you'll speak to this in a little bit here down the road on the podcast today. But our court is now more available than they were previously as well. So those two pieces of information, I think, are definitely good news for our customers.
I will address that. And yeah, that's one of the good news items. We have a few good news items that we're going to put out here today. And I think Lisa might have some that I'm not even thinking about. But so let's talk about modifications. Modifications are just changes in the child support order when circumstances of the parents change. Just a reminder that child support orders continue on unless modified by agreement with parties or by a court. But either way, the court has to sign off on that change so that it becomes a court order and the Department of Child Support Services can update their system and enforce that order. So what kinds of things do you need to know about a modification? Well, first off, there does have to be a change in circumstances. And I think right now, everybody is going through a pretty significant change of circumstances. A couple of the things I mentioned before. So what do you do? What do you do when, say, the time you spend with your child or children is increasing or decreasing rather materially? What do you do next? You call the Department of Child Support Services and you let them know that you would like your case reviewed for a modification. And here's where I'm going to pass it off to Lisa, because she is the expert when one of our customers calls in and requests a modification. So Lisa, what then happens?
Well, Bruce, when a client calls in to request modification, I usually try to, you know, explain the process to them. And if they decide that they would like to move forward, then I explain that I'm going to be sending a set of documents out to both parties, and that, you know, due to the fact that they're the requesting party, it's very important that they get those documents returned within a certain amount of time, which is normally about 25 days. If it goes, you know, past that 30 days, then you'll have the system automatically terminating their modification request. But still good news after that. I mean, we're very easy to work with. Even if the system does terminate their review, if they decide they want to continue and we get their paperwork back, we can just send a notice out to both that we are going to go forward with the modification. And then basically we, you know, as the child support specialist, I will run a guideline calculation. I'll send a results letter out to both parties, letting them know that based on the information that I have, this is what the child support should be at this time. And then we go ahead and get it set up for a court hearing. One thing that I've noticed a lot lately is that, you know, a lot of people, they want to avoid going to court. And so we even have a way to modify the order where you don't have to go to court. And that is if both parties agree on a certain amount. The guideline child support will definitely be shown to both parties. And if they want to agree on a lesser amount, they're free to do that if the custodial parent is not on cash aid. So I've seen a lot of that lately too. And, you know, so we have and actually that process doesn't take as long as when we have to request a notice of motion and get a court date and everything. So there's, you know, there's a couple of ways to go about getting your order modified.
So that would require the participation of both parents.
Yes.
But sometimes you won't get cooperation from both parents, or you won't get participation from both parents. What happens then? Suppose I'm calling in and I'm asking for you to review my case for modification. You find out that it qualifies for modification. And then you reach out to the other parent to see if she'll agree or she'll send in her documents. And what if she just does not participate whatsoever? Am I then out of luck as far as getting a modification?
No, actually, the case can move forward with modification even if the non-requesting party is not cooperating or does not return their documents. What will happen basically is we'll end up requesting a notice of motion and you'll get a court date and both parties are notified. And if the non-requesting party refuses to even cooperate at that time or appear in court, they'll actually most likely move forward if the requesting party is present. They'll see that the custodial had the same opportunity to provide her information. And the one thing that is really good about participating in the process is that you have a say-so. You have an opportunity to provide your accurate information. And if you don't, you know, inaccurate information could be used when it comes to entering that information for the party that did not return their documents, such as there's credits given for childcare for other children in the home that are not a party to that action. You can get credit for health insurance if you provide health insurance. So those are all things that we want to have the most accurate information possible, because otherwise you might be getting shortchanged in the end if you choose not to participate in the process.
That's an excellent point. The Department of Child Support Services doesn't make up the figures they put into that child support calculator. They have to put in information that's provided by the parties, or that they can somehow extract from various databases that they have access to. But sometimes they just don't know. And if they don't know, then creating an accurate child support calculation is next to impossible. So it really works in both parties' favors to respond to the Department of Child Support Services requests to provide information. The more up-to-date and accurate information you can provide, the better. Paycheck stubs, visitation orders or visitation logs, anything that goes into the child support calculation, as Lisa said, be a part of the process.
And Bruce, I'm glad you brought that up about visitation logs, because that's one thing that throws people off a little bit, I think. They might have a visitation order and they might not. And so what I encourage a lot of my customers to do is, just so that you'll have accurate numbers, keep a log of the times that you have your visitation. And when you're asked to fill out that visitation verification form, you'll just go to your log and you'll add up the hours, and it will be so much simpler than trying to remember, like, oh, how many hours did I have in February, or how many hours did I have in March? And so that when we have those accurate numbers, it's much easier for us to get as close as possible to the actual percentage of visitation that a person has. And also, you know, it allows us, like you said, to come up with the most accurate guideline calculation that we can.
And I think that that fact is probably not well known to our customers, that visitation is such a significant factor in the calculation of child support, and that the Department of Child Support Services staff, they will break it down to the number of hours a day, number of days a week, number of weeks a year, to come up with as close to the actual visitation percentage as possible, so that when they put that percentage into the child support calculation, it is accurate.
You know, Bruce, thinking about the topic of visitation, and I'm glad that came up. So thinking again about COVID and the things that are changing. So it occurs to me that we're on the heels of a new school year starting. There's going to be a whole lot of parents who normally would be sending their kids to school in August or September, but things are changing for them too. You know, as an example, many children are going to start their school through distance learning. And I've heard from a number of people that that's having an impact on visitation. And it's not necessarily a formal change in their court-ordered amount of visitation if they have that situation in their life, but they're finding that, you know, their kids are maybe spending some of their time in their home doing school, but they're also going to the other parent's house and doing school there, for example. So even COVID is touching things like visitation in a way that we never thought it would. And so I think, you know, one of the things I would want to emphasize for our customers is don't make any assumptions about what level of a change in circumstance is significant enough to warrant you contacting our office and asking for a modification. Because I think that, you know, the main thing right now is just to contact us and explain what's going on, because even schooling is going to influence that. We usually think about loss of a job or loss of income, reduction in hours, things like that. But right now there's going to be a much more practical, real life, situation happening for many people related to visitation, and that's going to impact modifications.
That's
Hey, this is the juicer of this show.
Hey,
I'm sitting here having a cup of coffee, so I want to chime in on this.
Please do.
Yes.
So with COVID, I hear you guys are talking about visitations with the kids, and yeah, that's something that impacted my children. During the week, my kids go to school close to home, so they have to be, you know, at my home. But during COVID, they've been able to go to their father's house more. They can do their homework online there, their school online there. Another thing is sports. The kids are very involved in sports, so they usually, even on the weekends, we're running around to their practices or late nights practice. So that kind of would take away possible time that they could be at their other parents. And that's changed drastically with COVID. So is that a reason for modification?
That's an interesting point, Maria, because I think what you just described is something that a lot of our parents are now going through. I think a lot of the custody and visitation orders that were entered into pre-pandemic are now pretty much obsolete, because parents are just doing everything they can to make sure that their children's needs are being met. And that sometimes means a lot more time with the paying parent than has been in the, you know, they've experienced in the past. I think that I'm glad you brought that up, because if that is occurring, you may want to contact the department and talk to somebody about how that's going to affect your child support.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, Maria, I appreciate you, speaking up and sharing that. You know, one question I have too is whether it's visitation, there are other things that are really directly connected to COVID as well, like the unemployment benefits. So there's so many people who have applied for unemployment and they're getting an increased unemployment benefit. But from what I'm hearing on the news, we are either, like, potentially now from some of those benefits either being reduced or completely eliminated. So you know, does that qualify someone for a modification if come August 1st, they're no longer getting that extra, I think it's $600 a week in unemployment benefit? Would they want to contact us and ask for modification?
I think they would definitely want to do that. And that's a pretty significant decrease in income from $600 a week down to nothing or something in between. So that is happening as we speak. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're affected by the expiration of the federal unemployment benefit, you might just want to give us a call.
Yeah, and I don't know if this follow-up question for that is for Bruce or Lisa, but what if, let's say, 3-4 months ago, you know, someone lost their job, they contacted our office, they requested a modification, and they went through the process then, and their income between that time and now has been unemployment, but let's say it's only been 90 days or so since they, you know, requested a modification. Let's just make it easy. Let's say there was an agreement, you know, between the parties, they signed a stipulation, so they did not have to go to court, but here they are again, 90 plus days later, and there's another change in circumstances. And it could be what Maria spoke about. Now it's not income, it's visitation related to schooling, for example, or it is income and their unemployment benefits, which is all they've had for the last 90 days, are now reduced even further. Can I ask for another modification, or is it like one a year? How does that work?
So definitely, Nathan, if there's been a change of circumstances recently, and for many of our customers, there have been, as you mentioned at the start of the show, things are changing every day. So if your circumstances have changed and you think that it does affect your child support, then call the Department of Child Support Services and talk to them about it.
Okay.
And don't forget that if the parties are in agreement, then we possibly could do another stipulation based on the additional change in circumstances. If they agree to sign a stipulation, we could possibly do that a little easier than maybe filing another notice of motion for a hearing. So
okay, so we have options.
We can give them that option too.
Okay, so it's encouraging to know that even if there are different situations throughout a year period, for example, calling us and asking is never wrong. Customers should always do that. We will tell them what is legally allowed with their case, give them their different options. And Lisa's comment was a great one as well about agreement between the parties. If I can, I want to ask a little bit of a different question, because Lisa, as you were talking previously, something kept coming to my mind, and you mentioned a couple times about the process of modifying a court order, maybe stopping and not being completed. And I started thinking to myself, you know, especially because of, you know, this COVID, the time that we're living in, why would somebody who needs that modification not complete the process? I'm curious about that. And I'm curious in hoping that you and your experience can maybe speak to that and help our listeners understand a little bit about that. What is it that causes someone to start that process, recognize the need, and then maybe not see it through to fruition? And what can we do, understanding the reasons why, to help them move through that process and come out the other end of it where their order is more representative of the current circumstances?
Well, Nathan, that is a great question. And what I have found while working with my customers is that once they get the packet, I think sometimes looking at that packet, it can be a little daunting. And they're like, oh, they might set it aside and say, oh, I'll do this later. And really, they don't have that much time to complete the packet and get it back to us. And so I think that's one thing, is that they just feel overwhelmed by all the information that the packet is asking for. Another thing is that on the custodial parent side that I get a lot is, well, they've asked for this modification so many times and they never return their paperwork, so I don't want to fill this paperwork out again either until I know they have. So I've gotten that too. And I think also people have a fear of going to court. And so I think that just by encouraging them, educating them, and also letting them know that, look, if you can get that packet filled out, you know, for the most part, and you have a question about a few different things, call and we'll do our best to help you. Of course, we're not going to fill the packet out for them, but we can certainly help them if there's just a few areas where they're really not sure what to put. So I think those are the main reasons why people start the process and don't finish.
I can certainly understand the part about being overwhelmed. I mean, you have to think about the circumstances that are leading them to the place of requesting the modification anyway.
Right.
Typically, it's a change in circumstances that has not been positive. So I understand that.
Yeah. And another thing, Nathan, is, you know, I've looked at these forms for 20 years. Okay. I know the forms backwards and forwards, but they don't. And, you know, I try to think of that as well, having compassion for them, because I don't know, if I'd never worked for child support, if I got that packet, I'd probably be overwhelmed myself. And, you know, I've thought about times when I've had to go to the family law court and I don't know anything about their forms and I need help and I hope that someone's going to help me. So I know that when the customers get those packets and it's very confusing what to put where, and we just have to be encouraging and help whenever we can to get them to that place where they can get the packet completed and return to us. So
yeah, I agree. And I appreciate you talking about encouragement and helpfulness, because that really is what we want to do. We want to encourage our customers to be part of the process. We want to help them along the way. And as I think about that process, it really, you know, it again, kind of summing things up for us, it starts with a customer recognizing the need. It then moves to them making the request of our office, asking for a modification. We will then help them figure out the options that they have. And one of those options, as Lisa has already said, is completing what's called a stipulation, so they do not have to go to court. But Bruce, I know that sometimes these modifications do require our customers to go to court. And so the court has also had some changes in how they operate because of COVID-19. So can you speak to that a little bit and give our customers a little bit of a taste of what would they be able to expect in that process if they were going to court for a hearing on a modification today, tomorrow, or next week? What would that look like for them? What would they expect and what should they do?
Well, I just want to repeat again, things are changing so quickly daily. So what I say right now, I hope will apply next week and maybe the week after. But right now, all of our courts are doing telephonic hearings. There's no actual in-person hearings. So if any one of our customers has a court hearing date, they are instructed to call in the morning, call whatever branch their court hearing is in, and leave information regarding how they can be contacted throughout the day, and any other information that's being asked of them on the telephone message. Then the attorney or the court staff will call back when the case is ready to be called and talk to the customer about the case, or customers if both parties are involved, and try to resolve the case as they would if the customers are actually sitting in court. Now, if a court hearing is necessary, another phone call has to be made by the customer to the court itself. They have a Skype system set up, I think, or a WebEx. It's a WebEx system where you call in and you're put into what's called a waiting room until your case is going to be called. Then the court will call or call the case, and then you will appear by telephone, and both parents will have the opportunity to address the court. So in a nutshell, that's the way the court is handling things right now.
Okay.
I would expect that this is going to go on for several months, if not longer. I don't anticipate that telephonic hearings are going to end before October, given the way things are right now. And I would almost go out on a limb and say we're probably going to be doing telephonic court hearings through the rest of the year. But of course, we're going to keep our customers up to date on anything.
Sure.
If you do have a court hearing and you do have questions, call the department, ask your questions ahead of time, and then we'll get you prepared for that actual court date. Now, I do want to bring up one thing that Lisa said about the agreement, the stipulation, and this is the good news that I was talking about earlier, and that is the Department of Child Support Services is now using DocuSign to get signatures on agreements from the parents so that the parents don't really have to go into the Department of Child Support Services office anymore to sign the agreement, whereas in the past they've had to do that.
That is good news.
Yeah, so this is a really great for these times that we can send the parents the agreement through email. They can do an electronic signature through their email and then send it back to us, and everything is taken care of without the parents having to leave their home.
So I don't know, Bruce or Lisa, thinking about all that we've talked about, in terms of timing, how long does it typically take from the time a customer requests modification to the time that it's done? Can they expect this to take weeks or months? Is it a long process?
Well, Nathan, the process, you know, typically can last up to 6 months, but like Bruce was just talking about with the DocuSign, that's a very quick process. Once the parties agree and we've verified that they both have a valid email address, I've done two already, and the signature was returned, signed by the next day and off to court to file.
That's great.
So it can be a very quick process, but the typical modification process can take from like 4 to 6 months.
Okay. So Bruce, I'd like to kind of wrap us up, and I want to close by us kind of refocusing on the customer experience in this process with our office. And Lisa, I'm going to ask you if you can kind of speak to this. You had mentioned that some customers, maybe one of the reasons that they kind of stall out in the process could be connected to the difficulty in working with the court, or it could be an intimidating process. I'm going to just own the fact that those same feelings are sometimes experienced by our customers in connection to working with the Department of Child Support Services. And that's not because we don't do our very best to meet their needs. It's just because it's a difficult topic. And, you know, we are inserted into the lives of people related to their money and their children. So my question, Lisa, for you is, you know, you have helped a lot of customers, you know, start a process like a modification, see it through and come out the other end. And I would imagine you've seen a lot of lives positively impacted, and I would say even changed as they have been able to work with us successfully. So do you have any kind of closing thoughts or comments about that customer experience and the benefits that you have seen of a customer as they have taken that leap of faith to work with us and trust that we do have their best interest in mind?
Oh, definitely. I would love to. I actually just had a case last week that comes to mind. I hadn't been able to contact this non-custodial parent for many months. But I just kept trying. And every once in a while when I would come across this case, we have the opportunity to call. We have the opportunity to text our customers. So I sent a text, you know, not really expecting a response, but he did respond. And I found out that he was trying to get his life together. He had been working with the custodial parent. She was ecstatic that he was finally getting his life together and wanted to be a part of the children's lives. And so she was doing everything she could to work with him. And so it turned out that she was in agreement with lowering his child support. And I feel like because of that, because he had made that connection again with his children and it was going well working with the custodial parent, and then when he spoke to the child support office, he was treated with respect and he was helped with the process. We were able to help him and it went so smoothly. They agreed to an amount. We did the stipulation. They did the DocuSign. Boom. Everything went just wonderfully. And the biggest thing that I am excited about as far as that situation goes is that this family, even though they're not together, they're working together again. for the best, for whatever's best for the children. That's what I like to encourage people to do, because I feel like that is going to have the best outcome for the children, is if they're working together for what the kids need. And so that's one story that I have that had a good outcome.
That's great.
And so I think it's important that we just offer our help wherever we can and inform and educate.
All right. That's great. Thanks, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, hey, Lisa, can I chime in one more time?
Yeah, it's Maria.
I know we're on a shortage of change right now, but I want to put in my two cents as a customer.
Please do.
So when you're talking about the things that may stop a person from completing the process, you mentioned, you know, not understanding it. So the podcast like this is really helpful, because you're telling me what a stipulation is, what a modification is, because I wouldn't necessarily know what those words mean, because if I didn't work for the department.
Exactly.
The other thing that I could think of is usually a CP opens a case, and the NP is kind of like the person you're pointing fingers at. So we just kind of react as a defense mode. So I think it's really important to know, like, child support is there for both parents. So it's not like the pointing fingers CP NP. It's there to help both, and, you know, mainly the children.
Yes. And Maria, that's such a good point, because I think a lot of non-custodial parents think that we're just after them, that we're not really there to help them. And it takes work to change that perspective of a person, to let them know that we are really here to help both parties. So.
And I believe child support has, you know, done a great job of changing that. And I do believe that our customers are seeing that now.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you, Maria. I appreciate that. Bruce, any final comments on our topic of modifications?
Well, after listening to Lisa, I think I have to point out that the kind of service that our customers are getting from the Department of Child Support Services is probably the best anywhere. And I don't care if it's a private organization or a governmental organization. Where can you get tailored help the way the Department of Child Support Services offers it these days?
Well, and I think the reason for that is because, and I know I view myself as this, we view ourselves as public servants, and that's exactly what we are. We have not just a job to do, but we have relationships to build, and that's with our customers, that's with the court, and we try to do those things as effectively and as efficiently as possible so that our customers can benefit, and so that their relationship with their children, with their significant other, even if it's their ex, can be as positive as they can. And so it's for those reasons that I'm really thankful for Lisa and for Maria, for the comments that you have shared today on our episode. Bruce, as always, thank you. And I hope that our customers will remember, again, please get in touch with us. Please ask us for help if you are having a change in circumstance. And I hope more than anything that they will remember the personal comments and the personal touch that Maria and Lisa have brought to this episode, letting them know that, you know, real life touches these circumstances, and it touches the court order that you have for child support. And there are options, and there are things that we can do to help them. So having said that, my coffee cup is empty, Bruce. And with that, I believe that concludes our episode.
Thank you.
Please remember to check our website, riversidechildsupport.com. You'll find the latest information on COVID-19 and how that is impacting our office availability. Please note that we are available by phone, by live chat, and we can even schedule virtual interviews with our customers now. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast, and we look forward to talking to you again in the near future. Thank you very much.